Most of the things worth doing, we can't do alone and we can't do quickly. And that song has stayed with those of us who made that trip because it speaks so much the wisdom of working and living in community. When I was 7 years old, I managed to save $8 to buy a special toy. It took a long time to save $8 because my weekly allowance was a quarter. Though sometimes I could do extra chores and get a little extra money. Whatever this toy was, $8 wasn't quite going to cover it, but I was getting close. And then on a Sunday morning, our church announced a special offering for people in our town who couldn't afford to buy Christmas presents out of their own money. The next Sunday, I brought in all eight of my dollars and I put them in the plate. I got a lot of praise for that act of generosity, and today I have no idea what toy I wanted, but I remember the story because it felt so good to get all that attention for being generous. And throughout my life, I've tried to live by the proverb, live simply that others may simply live. I don't want to take more than my share of our world's finite resources because there are so many people who don't have enough. I understand my life to be profoundly linked to people's lives around the world, and that is so meaningful to me. But I'm learning that that's not the whole story. These are scarcity concepts, that there are a limited amount of resources in the world, and that by having extra, I'm denying someone else what they need. Now, there are some things in the world that really are finite, like fossil fuels and trees and food. But even these resources can eventually replenish. Over generations, we could turn all of Pennsylvania back to forest if we chose to. Millions of years from now, this planet could have new stores of fossil fuels from the plants that we tend today. Food is an interesting one. Most researchers say there is enough food grown on this planet to feed everyone who is alive, but there are so many people who simply don't have access to that food. So passing up dessert tonight doesn't mean that suddenly somebody in Somalia will have enough to eat. But putting $8 in the offering plate, I think that did mean that somebody was able to buy a Christmas present. This was a long time ago. $8 went a little farther, maybe. But even money isn't truly finite. It's a lot like food, actually. There are a lot of people who simply don't have access to what feels like infinite money through loans and credit. So this scripture we read from Jeremiah this morning, I think about how generations and generations passed down the stories that were eventually written down in what we call the Old Testament. And as we read these stories, we get to watch these generations wrestling with whether God's favor is finite or infinite. And the communities go back and forth. And so when there's a generation that tends to see God's favor as finite, we read these stories about the Israelites' chosen people status and all those foreigners they believe they should kill for God's sake. And then we read stories in an abundance mindset where God's favor is infinite. And these stories rise up through the prophet's calls to welcome the foreigner and care for the widow and shelter the orphan. We might expect a scarcity mindset from the Jews who are in exile in Babylon, from today's scripture reading. We might expect them to call on God to punish their persecutors, to show favor to only themselves. Instead, the prophet Jeremiah points the Jews toward an abundant God who calls people to seek the welfare, the peace of the city in which they dwell, this home that is not their home. It is the home of their persecutors. It is their prison. Let's check in on the history of this story. There are 12 tribes of Israel, and then they have some challenging experiences with kings, trying to get kings to rule over them. And through those negative experiences, the 12 tribes break into two. 10 northern tribes become Israel. The two southern tribes become Judah. So then each kingdom has its own bad experiences with leaders. They're not all bad. They're mostly bad experiences that get written down, though. And various kings are trying to lead these people of Judah and also to live alongside the Egyptians and the Assyrians and the Babylonians and all the other groups around them. Then the Babylonians conquer the tribes of Judah, and they take a group of them back to Babylon. These Jews are in exile. They have been ripped out of their community. They're reeling from all of these failed kings. They're still telling stories of their meta community, of all 12 tribes. They are longing to be reunified. These are people of rupture, of persecution. They are far from home with people who worship other gods, speak other languages, live by other rules, and they didn't even ask to be there. This is not their home. And the prophet Jeremiah tells them that God says, seek the peace of this city in which you dwell, build homes, plant gardens, harvest, eat, grow families, and contribute to this place and these people who have forced you into exile. Because this is an abundant God with infinite favor to share, God who reigns on the just and the unjust, and all of us who are both just and unjust on most days. This city isn't the home for these Jews in exile, but it is God's home. And because the people remember that all the land, all the rain, all the world is God's, and because the people remember that they are God's, they are home in God's home, wherever they may be. So rather than choosing between helping themselves and helping someone else, rather than buying into that scarcity mindset that either we can flourish or someone else can flourish, either we can have a toy at Christmas or someone else can have a toy at Christmas, the Jews remember that God's home is everywhere. They are God's and they are home wherever they go. When the 16 of us traveled to New Community Project Sustainable Living Center in Harrisonburg, we found people who realized they could be at home together, and by putting their time and sweat and love and wisdom toward making this home flourish, they would all flourish. No choosing between doing for themselves and doing for someone else. No choosing between self-satisfaction and charity for the needy. When we make our home with the people who have needs, we all flourish when we work together. And Jesus says, I came that you would live and live abundantly. We cannot live abundantly when we believe that either we can have or someone else can have, when our sharing always feels like a sacrifice. We are called by the beauty of this season of autumn, the abundance of the fall harvest, to delight in God's great works. And I think of that camp song, love is like a magic penny. Hold it tight and you won't have any. Lend it, spend it, you'll have so many they'll roll all over the floor. We might agree that love is an infinite resource, but it feels hard to see that food or time or money or electricity or space could be infinite. We could look at a map and see that land is finite. We could look at our calendars and see that time is finite. And we probably can't make much difference in how much food or time or money or electricity or land there is in this world. We can't wave a magic wand and we can't develop an algorithm that will suddenly make all of these resources astoundingly, abundantly available. But what we can do is make these resources abundant when we join our lives with other people's lives, when we make a home together that calls all of us to work towards a future of abundance. Then we will seek the peace of our home. We will seek welfare for our community and delight that God's works are truly abundant. Amen.